Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Judith Glaser is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Judith is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's an executive consultant and a coach to people like you and me, helps us put our best foot forward. She's an author extraordinaire. She's written a number of books, including one of my favorites, which is right in front of me, Creating We, and also the one I have in front of me, I should say, The DNA of Leadership, which is an outstanding book. And that's her newer one. She's got a bunch more in the hopper, which we'll be telling you about in the future. And she's our good friend, Judy. Judy, welcome back to the show.
I am so excited to be here.
It's good to have you back, and you were great on Fox yesterday. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, it's so cool because Fox TV, they try to set up a dynamic where everybody's arguing at each other.
Yeah.
You know, and part
and
of
you're just not an arguer, are you, Judy?
Pardon me?
What? You're just not an arguer, are you?
Well, no, I have strong opinions. You know that. But I figure out how people can get all their opinions on the table and not get locked. They get brain locked. You know, that's
yeah.
what happens.
Well, I don't like it when they get loud, too.
And when they get loud, yeah.
And everybody, even if I agree with the loudest person, I don't like it when they talk over each other. I just change the channel.
You have to hear this very funny incident that happened. There was a guy sitting next to me. There were four of us being interviewed on the show. And there was one woman who was very alpha dominant, and she wanted to, like, take over and have a strong voice, right? So she and this guy are going at it, and she says something, and then he says something, and then she oversteps him. And then he moves in again, and she oversteps him. So they're, like, battling it out. And finally he said in his head, she's trying to do me in, because I had just talked about alpha behavior. and so he wouldn't let her, and he kept going and stepped over her until he got her to stop. And you know what happened after that? She like cooled down, way down, because she realized
oh, really?
She had met her match. Yep.
Yeah. And well, but here's the sad part, though. See, that's what was happening on the stage. What was happening in the audience is the audience changed the channel. Because they didn't tune in to see this contest between those two people. They tuned in to hear what people had to say.
They did hear, and what they have on the show, you may have seen, heard about it. They have people twittering in while the show is going.
Yeah.
So people in the audience don't like what's going on. They want to change the subject,
right?
So they throw in other questions.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So talk to us. Now, the last time you were here, you talked to us about you introduced the concept of our five brains.
Yes.
And I'm going to get you to... I'm going to get you to sort of give us tick those that list off for us quickly in a minute, and then tell us about some of the new things you've learned since then.
Okay.
You were here last.
Okay. Let me what's interesting about the five brains? So many times we talk about we have one brain, but we certainly don't have one brain, and in fact we have five and maybe even six, which is I will save that for our next conversation.
You're teasing me now, aren't you?
So what people may already know, and it kind of moves into mass market conversations, is that we have three brains. And the three brains that people talk about are the reptilian brain, and that's the brain that senses threats. So if you're coming into my territory and you're from an ego standpoint as well as a physical space standpoint, you know, I'm going to react to that. And
that lady and that guy, their reptilian brains were going at each other, weren't they?
They were firing off. They owned the conversation. Right?
Yeah.
They really own the conversation. So that's the first thing that we screen for. The second thing we screen for, and that's the threat. And I'm going to talk about the brain trust. So imagine that the first word I gave you is threat, and
mm-hmm.
it begins with a T. We're going to spell the word trust. The next one is relationship. And the limbic brain, which is the next level up, is the one that forms community. That's the one where you say, I feel so good to be on a winning team. It feels so good to be appreciated. It feels so good to be valued. That's the brain that wants to be part of a team and make a contribution. So if you're a boss and you're ignoring one person in the group, you have just pressed those the buttons for that person around relationship and belonging,
mm-hmm.
and you send them off into a tizzy.
And that's called the...
That's called the limbic brain.
Limbic, okay, go ahead.
Okay. The next brain up, which most people talk about, they talk about our left brain and our right brain. That's the logical brain, the left brain. Logical for left mm-hmm. and right for resourceful or creative. The left brain is thought of as one that keeps track of all the information, all the scripts that we know, all the things that teach us how to do things. It's the logic that we use to figure out what to do. And the right brain is the one that helps us think about new ideas and creativity mm-hmm. and things like that. That's the one that most people bring to work. And, in fact, it's
right.
the left brain, right?
The right brain is the one that says, I'd like to try this. And the left brain is the one that says, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, you failed last time you did that. What kind of an idiot are you?
Exactly. Exactly. What makes you think you can do that? But and we both have that. You know, I think it's interesting, though, that you started with the reptilian brain. You said the others were above it. And because what we also know is one of the things we know about reptiles is they're a very primitive life form.
Some people call that the primitive brain,
yeah.
the reptilian brain, exactly.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, and this is what your listeners have to get, is that we push each other's buttons at work. And so once we push a button that's about being threatened from an ego standpoint, the part of the brain that then is turned on to listen, and this is the heart of it, the listening brain is now a reptilian brain. Mm. And that brain is constantly sorting for other types of threats like this to validate that they're in trouble or to prove that they're not. Okay? So it's like our listening changes once that brain gets activated.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you learned new? What are some new things, some new perspectives on the brain that you've learned since you were here last?
Well, let me take you up to the next two brains.
That's right.
And we're spelling the word trust. So threat is the first one. That's a T. R is relationship. U is understanding. And that's where the two left and right brain are trying
right.
to come into some logical conscious
right.
understanding.
Some balance.
Okay, right, exactly. The next two are the ones that are the most fascinating, okay? The next one stands for S in the word trust, and you can think of the word sensitivity. That's the heart brain. That is the oldest brain in the sense that evolutionarily, in the life forms, had hearts before they had what we think of as brains.
Right.
And so that's the oldest way of reading the world around us and actually acting as a brain to understand the chemistry in our body and what it means when our chemistry changes and when we react. So
sensitive, okay.
It's sensitive to the outside world and the inside world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is truth. The prefrontal cortex, which is the youngest brain, some people call it the executive brain, but I call it the truth brain because it has a job of sorting out what's going on in the messages that all the other brains are trying to deal with and come up with good judgment or make a truth call. What is truth in this complex situation?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
Yep.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I love it when Judy joins us because we're learning so much about why we do the things that we do and why the people we manage, the people we serve, do the things that they do through this kind of discussion. And it's fascinating to me, and I know it is for you as well. 20 after, right back. I've got a couple of questions for Judy. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. We built it for you. No barriers to entry. And don't forget, you can subscribe to my free newsletter. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. My blog is there. And just posted put a new blog post up there on cash flow, on capitalizing your business, some of my thoughts and some reminding you about some thoughts of our Brain Trust members. I hope you'll check that out. Also, the post just before that is on how the generations can work together without creating a casualty list and lots of other things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. You got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something that will help you. Judith Glazer has deposited many things with us over the years on our website and as a member of our Brain Trust. Her new book is called The DNA of Leadership, and over the next year or so, we're going to introduce you to a few more new ones she has. Judy, give us your website, please.
www.creatingwe.com, and that's creatingwe.com.
Now, even though that's the title of one of your books, one of your more famous books, they can find all your other things there as well, can't they?
Absolutely. And we actually have a new website now, which is our creatingweinstitute.com.
Ah.
We now have people all over the world, from South Africa to UK to all over the United States, who are part of our collection of talented thought leaders who are building wisdom around the five brains and the kind of things that we've been talking about.
Good for you. Well, their information, their wisdom is deposited right there on that website, isn't it?
That's right.
So, folks, can I get in? Can anybody get in and wander around and use it?
Anybody can get in and wander around. We're starting to build it. It's fairly new, so we have actually more stuff on the Creating We site, but either way, we'd love to have people visit.
Good deal. Well, folks, check that out when you get a chance. So give us that last website again, Judy.
It's creatingweinstitute.com.
Okay, good. Judy, let me ask you a question. The social media universe that's evolving right now and being developed, that I think is going to be play a significant role in the socialization of humans over this century. Is there anything? Does this tell you anything about our five brains, or is this going to have an impact on our five brains?
No, I think what's spectacular about what we're learning is that people have an extraordinary need, a vital instinct that's hardwired into us in every cell, and that is to connect.
We're gregarious, aren't we? We're herds. We like to herd.
We are, right, exactly. We love to kind of snoop around and find out what other people are doing. And Twitter, for example.
I didn't say we were voyeurs. I said we were gregarious.
Yeah, well, I'm saying we're voyeurs. but human beings, even people who are introverts, introverts are people that seem to have more lack of ability to reach out socially in large groups.
They're the ones you have to watch, the introverts. They're the sneaky ones.
Well, why they're sneaky is Twitter was built for them.
I know.
All of these social networks, because they don't have to go out and shake a hand or look somebody in the eye, and you know that barrier to entry.
You're probably not a country music fan. I'm not a big one either, but there is this song I've heard by Brad Paisley, and the title is "I'm So Much Cooler Online."
That's right. So I think the world has shifted because there were more introverts than extroverts, and now it's mellowing out.
So what does this mean in your study of the five brains? Are the five brains influencing social media, or is social media influencing the five brains?
Well, connectivity is what holds them together, and I have to say that our brains are being hardwired to know that you can sit in a meeting and multitask an instant message to the person next to you, an instant message to somebody who's not there to tell them what's happening, and listen at the same time in some form or another, tells us that our brains are rewiring to have the ability to do these multi-level tasks, which was not before.
Is that really? You know, Judy, you're a lot younger than me, but I remember when we didn't have all that, and we stayed focused on the meeting, and we were all there, and we didn't make ourselves crazy with a lot of this stuff. Is it possible that maybe some of this is not a good thing?
Well, this is what our next book is about, which is that these are conversations that are taking place simultaneously. We know that if the brain tunes out and listens to one over the other, then the message that you got from one person is going to be jumbled up, and you won't get the real message the other person was trying to give you. Well, I mean, we don't get that message anyway, but to make it worse, you've now intermingled messages. So our book, part of what we're going to be talking about in the Conversation Change Your Life, is that we have to learn how to shape conversations. If we really have an intention to get a result, there's a difference between shaping a conversation so that these messages don't get convoluted and having a free flow, which is good, too, because human beings love to be connected, and that the heart brain, the sensitive brain, just goes bananas and loves it when it has friends everywhere and can be made to feel good.
You love me. You really love me.
Yeah, you really love me. That's right. You really love me. We had a big meeting at our house with a lot of our Creating We Institute people, and we trained everyone in a technology that allows you to read what the heart is doing, the heartbeats, and to understand how to get into what's called coherence with others, which is a green place where you and I are, like, we get on these calls. We're so in sync with each other. It's like it's a nice flow. At work, if we can train people to have the conversations, but also learn which ones bring them into coherence with others, so we really get what other people are saying and thinking, then at least we have a benchmark. We can do our free flow, we can play, we can twit, we can do all those kind of things, because that's important too. But we also have to know how to gauge when we've landed on truth with others.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we got to wrap it up, G. This is fascinating stuff. I want to want you to come back and keep us posted on what you're learning new, and especially the new books. Judith Glaser, ladies and gentlemen, G-L-A-S-E-R, Judith E., and that's creatingweinstitute.com. Is that right?
Well, the Creating We Institute and creatingweinstitute.com are the two ones to go after.
Yep. Thanks, Judy. Quick
Thank
break.
So
Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.